Facebook page later when we visit to her home. It's a young lady, Miranda Curtis, who made, what was that other song she made a couple years ago, Carlos, that was so popular? Because we talked about it online.
Which one?
Miranda Curtis. But anyway, she's done a couple songs that she's recognized. And she went through a really difficult time where she gained a lot of weight and then she was diagnosed.
Oh, Waymaker?
It's Waymaker. Mm. She's the one that did Waymaker. And then she, I think you guys did that at one point, didn't you?
Yep.
Yeah.
So she did that song. And then she did this new version of This Is the Day the Lord Has Made.
Oh, yeah.
But very jazzy. But she still was able to keep it holy. Mm-hmm. And something that came to me while you were speaking earlier, Minister, about Minister Charlene Arcilla, who, for those of you who are newer, was, it's hard to describe Minister Charlene. She wasn't just one thing. She was many things to all people, right?
Yes.
She was not only a minister here in our local church, right? She was our first transgender clergy member in this local body, which is huge. Yes, and there is, to this day, now there's some people who, once they transition, don't choose to identify publicly, which is their right. But as far as people that publicly identify, she is still one of the few who made it to the minister level in our denomination.
Yes.
Right. So, and this was 5-6 years ago that she made it to that level. So she, and then in this community, in the Philadelphia queer community, LGBTQIA communities, Minister Charlene was everywhere and in everything.
Yes.
There wasn't an organization that she hadn't touched.
All right.
She touched every organization, everybody's life. Was, even if you didn't know she had made your life easier, she made your life easier.
Come on.
Yes.
She was instrumental in getting the gender marker removed. Yes. From the transportation pass. If you use SEPTA, back in the day, not so long ago, I believe it was up until 2013. I have the last one with the gender marker in my kitchen next to her, the poster from her memorial service with the fire. And she was instrumental in that fight. Up until that point, when you went and bought your monthly pass, you got a pass that said male or female.
Right.
And then a bus driver or trolley operator who was not a qualified medical personnel made a determination on whether you fit the gender marker that was on the pass. And there were people, including Minister Charlene, who were being discriminated. She would go and buy the female pass, and they told her, oh, you can't use the male pass. And then another operator or driver would say, well, you don't look like what this gender marker says. And then and then vice versa, the next month she'd go by the mail and say, well, you look female, so you can't. So she was literally losing money and about to lose her mind. So she stepped up. And her and some other folks, with her being one of the key people in the fight, got that removed.
Exactly.
And that's just one of many things that she did. And that affect, for this new generation of millennials out there who are what they call gender queer, and their gender identity is fluid. They may look more masculine identified one day and more female identified another, or somewhere in between.
Right.
They don't have to deal with that anymore.
Exactly.
They just swipe their card and have a seat.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Let's put our hands together.
Yes.
Because you're a driver, you ain't a doctor.
Yes. Yeah. Say that.
And even the doctor can't tell you who you are. You tell the doctor who you are.
No, amen to that. Yes.
This is our let's just throw it down. I'm looking at Psalm 118. I'm in the my favorite version, the Message version that Bishop Jacqueline Holland introduced to me some years ago, as well as Deacon Shamar actually used this version too. And I like it because it speaks as we speak. And it says in Psalm 118, thank God because God is good. Because God's love never quits. God's love never quits. And then it jumps down to verse 5. Pushed to the wall, I called on God. What do you do when you backed up against the wall? Who do you call? Not the door scratcher, Brother Carlos. Right? They might be able to tickle your funny bone, but they're not going to resolve your issue. I love some right? Pushed to the wall, I called to God. From the wide open spaces, God answered. Which means that even though God is, was, and always shall be, somehow, which we may never understand, and through all the chaos of the 7 billion people on this planet alone, calling out to the Lord, somehow God heard your cry through all those other people's prayers.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And some people are not even praying, they're just begging.
Come on. Yeah.
They got jukebox Jesus. They're just like, okay, God.
Hey!
I'm a quarter and I want, this is what I want. I want my life to look just like this. And then they don't get it. And they're like, oh, how come it didn't work out exactly like I asked for it to?
Come on.
Because they didn't do anything else that was in the will of God for their life. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Yes.
That's something, an expression or a scripture that we've heard, most of us, since we were little ones, and didn't even really understand what it meant. But this is a brand new day that God has created for us. Each one of us has a unique path and a unique walk. And each one of us is called to do something different than the other person. I'm not going to belabor the point. I'm going to go right into point one, which is place your trust in God.
Hallelujah.
Now, I've been struggling. Now, this is a transparency moment, right? So I'm launching a new business, quit my job, and thankfully I have a little bit of money that has been allowing me to pay my bills and everything. So I came back from my 10-day trip to Brazil, and I was looking around, and I was like, this isn't adding up the way I thought it was going to be. I thought by the time I came back, all these people would have called me and said, oh, here's this job offer, here's the amount, and then you can just go through and pick which one you want. In addition to launching your business simultaneously, which is already crazy, to try to launch a business and start a brand new job, right? And it's not quite working out like that. And in that moment, I was in my humanity and not in my spirituality. Which is something that honestly is fairly weird for me, because most of the time I'm just like, okay, God, I know you got this. I'm not even thinking about it. I'm not worried about it. But I had a moment, right, in that little span of time where I was like, uh-oh, what's next? And I went into BJ mode. What can BJ do? Let me put my hand in it and fix it. But what happens when we put our hand in it? We mess it up. If your grandma gave you a recipe and said, baby, if you're going to make this, you follow my steps. Exactly. And you say, oh, I'm going to add a little extra salt and a little extra sugar. Parsley. I don't know, some oregano. And your grandma hasn't even heard of oregano. And then you serve it to her. She's like, oh, that's not my dish. Right? So in my humanity, I had a moment where I didn't completely place my trust in God. And the job that I did 4 interviews for, I didn't get. But I confided in the clergy when we were praying in that still wasn't the right job for me, to be truthful. Because it still would have required me to be on the road. Which is exactly the reason I quit the other job. Right? So in my humanity, I was going to go ahead and do something else because they had told me what the salary was. They really wanted me to be transparent. They said, oh, well, this is how much it's spent. I said, oh, well, this is more than I was making before. It looks real good. And I said, let me go through this interview process. But that's not what God had in mind for me. And I'm going to tell you, the blessing is that I didn't get it. Because then I'd be packing up tomorrow or tonight to get on the road, go somewhere, which would take my focus away from what I'm supposed to be doing here. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So under each point, I'm going to give you a couple sub-points. So point one is place your trust in God. And under that, sub-point A is don't be so easily discouraged.
Hallelujah.
There's one scripture that says, O ye of little faith.
Come on now.
O ye of little faith, right? You said you believe in God. You said you trust in God. You said that you stand on God's word and God's promises for your life. And then what do? You have one moment where things aren't going exactly the way you think they should go, and you start doubting. You look around and you say, oh, well, this new apartment is nice, but it ain't big as where I used to be. I can't put all that stuff in there like I used to have. I'm going to have to change my way of living. You know? and or you had that surgery on your hand and it didn't heal as quickly as you thought you were gonna go in and come out, and in 2 days you'd be back banging on the keyboard. Guess what? You ain't 21 no more. It takes a little longer to heal than it used to take. Amen. Under point one, place your trust in God. Is also, God has a plan even when you're not certain what's happening. And that thought came to me as DC Phil and I talked about where we're at with our building search. He's been faithfully going to the auctions for almost a year now, getting close to a year, and going down there only to find that almost every month, properties that we were interested in, even as we changed our focus to different properties, they were all getting the state. And the state is more or less the city giving the property owner an extension or another chance to pay off their back taxes.
Oh, okay.
And even I was saying, well, how many chances do they give these folks?
Hello?
And I had to stop. And I was like, wait a minute, you're a Christian. And you're hoping that these people don't get another chance to save their property. I had to look in the mirror, have a man in the mirror moment and say, okay, as a Christian, you want these people, you know, to get another chance.
Right?
So I had to kind of step back and say, okay, wait a minute, why would you want to get this building under ill-gotten gains, right? So, God has a plan even when you're not certain what's happening. So with regards to the building, I'm turning it over to the Lord.
Come on,
yeah. Right? Which is what we should have been doing from the beginning. We had all these grand plans. We were all on databases, and we were filing and scrolling. And DC Terrestre sent me a huge list about a month or so ago. And I filtered through and came out with 10 or 15 that I thought were ideal. And guess what? One of those might be the one, but we have to release it, the process, to God. We can do some groundwork, but we ultimately have to trust in God that God will put us in the right direction.
Come on.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And then under that point one, lean not unto your own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge God, and let God do what God does best, which is where we're at right now. So we're saying we trust God to bring us the building, so we're going to have to just let God do what God does best. So I'm going to start, instead of focusing so much on, oh, let me look through this list, and not saying we're going to stop looking, but we're going to refocus. That's why I wanted to start having a live conference called prayer.
Right.
Once a week, right?
Right.
For our weekly prayer. Because then, if we're all focused together, I've seen it many times in this small congregation where we're all focused and we're all pitching in and we're all praying together,
right.
Great things will happen. Amen?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Point two, know that God is on your side. Never doubt that God is on your side, because we get so wrapped up in everything that's going on. Look at this. I got this bill. I got this debt. I got this commitment. And I only have 24 hours in the day. Right? And I'm just overextended. I'm overworked. I'm overwhelmed. I've even heard from clergy this past week saying, wait a minute, it's only 10 of us in all our local committees. Do we have to meet every single Tuesday night? And I had to stop for a moment and think about it. How can we do some things differently? Maybe we can call in and allow people to sit in the comfort of their sofa and call in for a meeting instead of everybody trying to scatterbrain, rush downtown, and literally a rush hour, and get down here for what sometimes would be a 30 or 40 minute meeting. It might take some people longer to get here and back home than it would for us just to dial in and handle our business over the phone. Amen.
Amen.
Being considerate and appreciative of our resources. Test your faith by believing that God has got it under control.
Oh, wow. Go ahead.
All right.
Test your faith, Brother Ray. Test your faith by believing that God has got it under control.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because if you believe that God has got it under control, it's almost like my grandfather used to drive big Cadillacs, those big Lincoln Town cars back in the 70s and 80s. And that's when they were first introducing the, what was it called? No, for the road trips when you would.
Road rash?
Cruise control. Cruise control, thank you.
Yeah.
I just kept feeling pushing the thing. He would get it to a certain speed, then he pushed a button, and then this huge piece of steel from Detroit would just float down the highway with no guidance. And, I mean, he got the same as the steering wheel, but the car didn't have to be his foot on the gas, right? So if we truly want to test our faith, take your foot off the gas.
Alright.
Let God be
the, say that.
Let God do the, be the cruise control. Let God be the pilot. There used to be the expression that said, Jesus is my co-pilot. Let God be the pilot.
Yeah.
Truthfully, Jesus, God don't need you to do nothing.
Right.
Sit in your lane, stay in your place, get in that passenger seat, get real comfy, put on your seatbelt, because the ride might be a little bumpy.
All right.
It may not always be smooth, but stay in your place. And while you're in that seat, in that passenger seat, you be fasting. You meditate. You pray. And you focus. And let God be in the driver's seat doing what God does best.
Thank you.
Can I get an amen? Right. Now,
Jesus.
Under the note that God is on your side, pray without ceasing. And stay rooted in your belief in God. I think sometimes the word that kept coming in my life, did I already say this, was holiness? When Minister Marcus was speaking about Minister Charlene, there was something about the way she carried herself that always reminded me of people from the old holiness churches. When she came into the sanctuary, it was a place to be revered. Even though we're liberated, even though we accept everyone and we love everyone, she came into the room with a spirit of reverence and holiness. And it's not something that we talk about a lot in the open and affirming church. But I think it might be something that we need to revisit. The holiness of our worship, the holiness of the work that we're doing, and the holiness of the even the sanctuary space that we're in, wherever that space may be. Right? This is the holy work that we're doing. And we, you don't approach holy work in your way. It's not like going to the office and you're late and you slide the car in the parking lot and dust flies everywhere and you didn't matter if you combed your hair right, but you got to get to that desk and punch that clock or whatever it is, right? But with holiness, there's a way that you do everything. And there's a way that you approach it. Because you first come in and you cleanse yourself and you purge yourself and you offer yourself to God. And you make you get yourself as pure and holy and righteous as you can be. And then you and only then can you be of service and help to others.
She would come in singing.
Say, come on, brother.
She would come in singing.
That's right.
She walked in the door singing.
That's right.
And she would set the tone.
That's right. That's all right. Atmosphere. Setting the atmosphere of worship. That setting that, and that's a part of what Brother Raymond. And you do as well, is setting the atmosphere, right?
Yes.
Setting the atmosphere. Because when we all come in, we come in with all the things from the world on us.
Yes, we do.
And at least for the hour and 30 minutes or hour and 45 minutes, we need to take all that off of us.
Hey, come on, man.
It's all right. Bernard Hassel's calls it getting that monkey off our back.
Yeah.
If you came in with a monkey off your on your back and you leave with one, that's nobody's fault but your own. If you see me run around this school, if you see me jump up and down, if you see me dance or whatever I got, if I got to do a cartwheel, I'm getting that monkey off.
Amen.
When Brother Carlos says that yell, I can't make you get yours. you put your praise on your own, however that is. Some people may have a more quiet praise. Some people may have a more loud, boisterous praise. But however you get your praise, that's on you.
Get your praise.
Get it.
Amen.
If you come in here, you leave, and you ain't got it, don't point anything. Is that how they say you point that one finger at me? Is four of them point back at you.
Amen.
Amen. Our final point, point three, rejoice. Yes. Because victory is on the way.
Yes.
Victory is on the way.
Yes.
I ain't got time to be discouraged.
Nope.
Amen. There's 10 or 11 of us in here, or 2,011 of us in here. I ain't got time to be discouraged.
Yes.
Because I've been in places where they had 2,011 members, and 2,000 of them were so negative and so unengaged and so disengaged and uninvolved. That it almost didn't matter that they were putting $1,000 in the plate.
Right. They
were dragging the ministry.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm grateful for all of you because each of you contributes in your own way.
Hallelujah.
And keeps this little dinghy afloat.
Yes.
And when we graduate to the luxury yacht,
yes,
we'll know how to treat. Speakers in place. We don't know how to act, but we can get our keyboard repaired and don't have to worry about somebody else deciding it's not on their priority list. Amen.
Right.
We'll know how to act when we have a permanent meeting space for each auxiliary and ministry.
Amen.
We'll know how to act when we have a place for each for the choirs to come in and do their work. We'll know how to act when there's a space say, oh, you got the grant to open the daycare.
Yes.
We don't know how to act when they give us the money to offer housing to the LGBTI and the QIA youth. Offer them a full pantry and say, don't take just one bag, but take two. We don't know how to act when we can have our own industrial kitchen to fry the fish platters and the chicken platters and we're all to the people and we're using the price. It will always be you. And the right answer is in our weekly conversation, we always talk about that. But when the grants come in, it's only certain people that are all first on the list that will be offered jobs.
Amen.
You get first dibs because you were here doing the work.
Yes.
And you were here busting your tail and complaining to me all the time and wearing the multiple hats.
Amen.
And we'll know how to treat you. As a matter of fact, we're going to plan.
Minister, I mentioned this a couple, like last month.
We're going to plan our membership. We're bringing back our membership appreciation.
Hallelujah.
And it's going to be me, Minister, and Reverend Haskins, only the ordained clergy.
Amen.
The rest of you, including you, will sit and we will serve you and run the whole service. Even our deacon candidates, you're going to sit. And then at the end, we're going to have certificates and acknowledge you for the work you do and the contributions you've made.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have some food afterwards and celebrate you.
Hallelujah.
I want you to know that you're appreciated.
Come on.
I don't want people to think, oh, well, they just come in there and take us for granted and I can put in all my time and my ties and talent. Nobody even notices it.
Mm-hmm.
We notice you.
Hallelujah.
We acknowledge you. You, and we respect you.
Thank you, Lord.
Because you could easily slide up into Assembly Temple or Enon, if you come number 5972, you know, and get over looks and just be wonderful in there with your suits and your big hats and your designated parking spot and your crystal on your chandelier, you know, and do all that. So I acknowledge you and I thank you.
Service. Does anybody in here have a red car parked right out here in front?
Yeah.
Deacon
Cat is
coming.
There.
You better come on.
Come look.
Hit your car.
Come on. Oh. Thank you. Amen. Well, we're almost anyway. It's 3:30 is what I promised you that we would be. So in this season, let me just wrap up. Yes. So that last little part, now I don't know where that came from.
Lord.
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 That's all right.
Go ahead now.
Rejoice because victory is on the way.
Come on.
When your victory comes, don't keep it to yourself.
Yes.
When we get our building, every newspaper, every news outlet, I'm calling everybody. I might even go on the homophobic shows and be like, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I want y'all to keep taking notes as we go through this, whether it's mental notes, physical notes, whatever, as we go through this experience right now, right? As we look for the building, as we're uncertain as to what our future looks like, as we're praying for new people to come in and fill these seats and be workers and contributors, I want you to always be mindful that what we're doing is not in vain. And as we move forward, I want us to always remember, because one of the problems that the children of Israel had coming out of Egypt was they were so quick to forget. They were so quick to forget. I don't want us to be quick to forget. Because I'm not a valley experienced person. I like being up on the mountaintop, quite frankly. And I know that the valley is a part of the journey. So while I'm in it, I'm embracing it, I'm growing, and I'm learning from it, but I'm also praying to manifest myself out of that.
Yes.
Amen? Everything good?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So, Lord,
thank you.
We're gonna take these notes and take this manna, right? The crumbs that other people thought were indigestible and not tasty. And we're gonna take all that with us as we move toward the mountaintop, as we move into our kingdom. Amen.
Yes, yes.
Amen. And finally, be grateful that God did what God said God would do. I'm not going to do a Reverend Hanson's and go through every person's personal life on all your and be like, well, you know, God did this for you and 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 you. I'm not going to do that, because when he does that to me, I'm like, really? I told you that friend to friend, pastor to pastor. I didn't mean to come down. He's like, well, you know, if you tell me, I'm going to tell people. I'm going to respect your privacy, but I'm just going to say, be grateful that God has done what God said.
Amen.
Yes.
With that in mind, know that God's going to do what God said God would do for us. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. I know it's overwhelming. I know it is. And I know it's a lot. I got people coming on buses and trains and trolleys across town. And Brother Phil called, DC Phil called, and sounded like the whole church was there at his house yesterday. It's a lot, right? And for those of you who haven't signed up to do stuff yet, I need you to step up. Because the rest of us are wearing a lot of hats. It gets heavy and hot. And you get sweaty, and then you get aggravated, and then you're like, well, what am I doing this for, right? So step up so that someone else can have just a little bit of a work. They're still going to be wearing 5 hats, and maybe the 6th one they can give to you.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen. So just remember that this is the day the Lord has made, and Reverend Hastings and I were here when the Baltimore church got their new space. And it's small, but what they did is they had an architect come in, and some of you have been down there. We worked that little space. They got their offices, they got their sanctuary, they got a little kitchen, bathrooms in there. And he was able to take essentially what was a small storefront and make it into a worship space for them, right? And when they celebrated, they started this little park across the street, and they just started, we sang and we praised, and then we processed across the street. And it was in such a tough neighborhood that they had to get permission from the drug dealers, because the park that they started in,
Lord Jesus.
The park that we started the procession in is a place where they sell their drugs, where they do their open-air, open market business. So they literally got permission and said, is it okay for this Sunday that we use this space for this 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever it is, and open hour? And everyone in the neighborhood acquiesced and said, we welcome you into this.
Yes.
And I say that because we don't know where we're going to end up.
Hallelujah.
You know, we're real cozy down here in Center City.
Hallelujah.
We're real cozy. We might, I don't know where we're going to end up. And I'm a little bit bougie myself, so we all have to pray together. Whatever God sends us, we're gonna ask the people. We're gonna ask God to allow the people of that neighborhood to welcome us.
Yes.
Right? Because we'll probably be a lot different than what they're accustomed to seeing.
Right.
In the form of people, and most likely in the form of a church. Right. All right, so that's all I have for you today. Be blessed.
Yes.
And I just want to thank all of you. I love you.